Konnichiwa! It is I, the Pete, for episode 42? Hey, 42. Of the 666 cast. I am just walking in the door, so you've caught me in my pre-show Mr. Rogers attire. I am just getting back from my new day job, which I quite literally took over from my wife, who had back problems. I think I mentioned those last week. And so I actually have a day job now, and I actually got back right really early this week, which was shocking because I got out the door at work and on the road, or on the subway, on the tracks. And I'm just getting home, and Sierra, my wife, is actually out for a little bit, which is good, because she has been spending a lot of time indoors recuperating over the past several months. Believe me, folks, you do not want a herniated disc. That's what we think she's got. So, not fun. But I'm recording a 666 cast from website 666.com, in case you didn't know. And I just was reminded of this. You can also find this podcast on fm.thepete.com, but that's not where the blog is. The blog is on website 666, which I haven't really been updating much, so you're not missing things. what a week for free speech, huh? It seems like Egypt is totally doing it better than us. In fact, last week on the 666 cast, I don't think I fully made my point about Egypt. I think they're kind of doing the whole free speech and freedom thing better than us right now. Of course, it took them 3 years to figure out that their guy was or 30 years. 30, did I say that? Yeah, that way. And it took them 30 years to figure out that their guy was a dictator. Or to finally get fed up with it. Maybe they were just used to the pharaohs or something? I have no idea. I am so poorly educated when it comes to what actual Egyptian history. I mean, I know that some of the distant stuff, obviously, because, it's interesting, it's cool, but I don't know anything of the recent stuff. But the important thing is they have, started doing the peaceful protest thing. Actually, it's been not just started, they've been doing it for a week and a half now, as I'm sure you've heard, unless you've been living under a rock. A-Rock, not Iraq. E-Rock. It's been an interesting couple of weeks because it started off all peaceful, then it turned violent, and if you watch the news, you'd think those Egyptians are fucking savages and they like to blow each other up, and they're just like all the other Muslims, right? That's what CNN seems to be saying. I mean, I haven't really looked too long at CNN, to be perfectly honest. But it seems like every time I made it into our lunchroom at my day job, CNN's always on in there, and they were talking about how violent it was, and Anderson Cooper got beat up, and I have to admit, I did laugh when I heard that, because he's just such a, I don't know, I don't want to call him a poser, because he does go out in the middle of this shit, and does try to cover this stuff, and seems to really believe in what he's doing. But, I don't know, he kind of reminds me of, I don't know, I'm actually watching this anime, this Japanese animated television series right now. That's a few years old, but it's interesting. It's called Code Geass, G-E-A-S-S. The word is probably supposed to be Gears, but they didn't translate it properly. But anyway, it's basically an alternate reality story where the British Empire never fell, and they have giant robots that help them maintain their empire around the planet. And Japan, it turns out, has some sort of cool element that allows them to make really kick-ass bombs. Only Japan doesn't realize it, the Brits do, and so they invade and conquer Japan and turn it into Area 11. Anyway, so a young Britannian who was basically raised more or less in Japan, he
But as a British subject, you know.
Whoops, excuse me, sorry. That was my sick bottle clanging. Anyway, so he's just this, you know, basically a spoiled kid. He has seen some tragedy growing up, but he's just really bored, and he finds, you know, being nobility or being a noble sucks because all the nobles are stupid and shallow and trite and boring and lame, and so he manages to luck into this ability to make, well, let's just cut to the chase. He ends up leading this rebellion because essentially he's bored. And when people start dying around him and he needs to start killing people, he has a real hard time with it. And, you know, and he eventually does come to terms with the fact that this is a violent, you know, this was a violent choice. You know, you couldn't have gone into this not knowing that, you know, shit was going to come down and it wasn't going to be all, you know, shits and giggles, you know. It wasn't just going to alleviate your boredom. It was going to cause lots of bloodshed. And, you know, and I sort of feel like that's Anderson Cooper in a way. It's just sort of like, yeah, you waded into this you know, protest on a day when the pro-Mubarak guys showed up. You know? Duh. You know, you see Molotov cocktails. What are you doing getting in the middle of it? Reporters are supposed to report. They're not supposed to get in the middle of shit like that. That's just dangerous. So, it just seems stupid. And so when I heard he was harmed, I laughed and said, that's not news, that's good news. And that was mean, and I felt bad about that. But I do think he was stupid to wade into it. Of course, that doesn't mean I can't have sympathy for him being, you know, injured. He did get punched, apparently, 10 times in the head. That's what I had heard. Anyway, so that's kind of a scary thing. But before you start thinking that I think the Egyptians are savages too because they're all using violence against each other, I should specify that one thing that I do is I try to listen to Democracy Now! Every day and try to keep up with, you know, alternative news to a certain degree. And they reported a very different situation on the ground. One of their reporters, Sharif Abdel-Quddous, he is, I think it's Quddous, something like that. He's actually Egyptian, and so he went home to cover it, to cover this as a story, as a reporter. And he just described this amazing, you know, situation where everybody was coming together and being peacefully protesting and speaking out against Mubarak and all this stuff. And, you know, for days, this is what he reported, and it just sounded like, you know, this is great. This is, you know, wow, awesome. And then, you know, every once in a while, you get the you know, the scuffles, and you end up with people getting hurt or killed because of police intervention, and that's ultimately what always causes problems at these things. You know, here's the tip to any world leaders who might be listening. If you get a bunch of people, like several thousand or tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands or, say, a million, like they did in Cairo the other day, just let them, you know, just let them be. Just let them talk, let them scream, let them chant, let them sing, let them dance, let them do whatever they need to do. You know, you can have the police, you know, there, but, you know, don't have them in the middle of it. Don't use provocateurs. Don't, you know, don't cause any violence. You know, that's another thing that reminds me of that Code Geass show, is that, you know, there's loads of, you know, provocateurs in it. Lots of things happening that don't need to be happening simply because we need strife. We need, you know, violence, and it just seems like, you know, that's what was going on with these police interventions, and then later the pro Mubarak types, who apparently, according to an article I read on time.com, that's timemagazine.com or time magazine, their website today, most of them were in fact provocateurs, you know, in other words, hired guns, thugs hired by the Mubarak administration or the state oil company. Apparently the rumor is that they were state employees were ordered to go down to Tahrir Square to protest in favor of Mubarak, not against him, and plus a lot of cops were
dressed in regular plain clothes, and they would wander out into the protest as well, and apparently causing problems and trouble and mixing things up. And that's where all the violence has come from. Up until, you know, the first day of pro-Mubarak guys, everything was peaceful. And Mubarak, if you had just left shit alone, nobody would have been hurt, or many fewer people would have been hurt. Many fewer people would have been killed. And so now it's just gotten huge. And so the Time Magazine article I read actually theorized that this was a plan by Mubarak to buy himself some time, because once he saw that it wasn't enough for the protesters, that he said he wouldn't run for another term, he needed more time. He wanted to stay until September. And of course, you know, my theory as a cynical American, you know, there's a lot of shit that can happen between now and September, you know? I mean, it's like, you know, people can forget. People, you know, you can find a distraction to make sure that they forget. You know, people, remember in, you know, what, August or so of 2001, when everyone was calling George W. a lame duck president? What, you know, all of 7 months into or 8 months into his, no, it was 7 months. 7 months into his first term, everyone was calling him a lame duck president. And then 9/11 happened. And then all of a sudden, you know, people stopped calling him a lame duck president. And, gee, I wonder why that suddenly changed. It's not like we got bin Laden or anything. It's not like we, you know, found WMD in Iraq. But, boy, weren't we distracted. You know? It's almost like it was allowed to happen. No, false flag operation. I can't imagine. No, we'll never know if that's true or not. But it does seem a little odd that 9/11 happened, and nobody seemed to think that the government was at fault. There was only one guy who actually spoke out, and said, "Your government let you down, and I am sorry." That was Richard C. Clarke, dick to his friends. Not a very dickish move, if you ask me, to admit failure. And no one else in government did that. Democrats, Republicans, nobody. Nobody admitted that they failed the American people on September the 11th, 2001. And it all served as a giant distraction, so we all forgot about the election in 2000, and we didn't worry so much about the election in 2004. A bunch of us did. I covered it on my blog. You know. But no one cared when Gore lost after a while, and no one cared after Kerry lost after a while, and, you know, after we invaded two countries illegally, yeah, we stopped caring about that too, you know? It's like, because we're not focused on what's going on. So a lot can happen in 9 months, is what I'm saying. 7 months, actually, I guess, since it's February already. Those are my cats running by. I don't know if you could hear that. Anyway, so the concern is now that, at least for me, is that the media, the U.S. media, is portraying this as strife, as chaos and instability in Egypt. But if anything, it's the Egyptian people who are more stable than ever, and they're speaking out, and they know what they want, and it seems like they're going to get it. You know, and I'm a little shocked. I'm a little surprised. Actually, Democracy Now! Yesterday had Noam Chomsky on, and he admitted he was stunned. He was, you know, just amazed, and he said that what's going on right now is incredible. And you know, I mean, I don't know, if you've listened to Noam Chomsky talk, he wasn't like, you know, woo-hooing or doing backflips or anything. He's a very subdued guy, but you know, when he uses words like fantastic or whatever, that means something, you know, because he is so down on everything and everybody, you know, and when Amy Goodman asked him about Obama's reaction to the violence, and the best part of Obama's reaction, you know, Chomsky was just like, so what? That's like a big nothing. He said nothing. He basically, you know, said, oh, peaceful transfer of power, but to what? And Chomsky brings a good point, you know, but right now anything is better. Well, I shouldn't say that. I can only assume that, you know, the next guy will be better than Mubarak, you know, because Mubarak tortured. Mubarak was a corrupt guy. He was a quote-unquote ally in terror, except for the fact that in the war on terror, except for the fact that you know, he's responsible for, you know, one of the most, you know, I should say Egypt is responsible. Egypt and its policy policies on torture are responsible for one of the biggest terrorists there is, Zawahiri, who's Osama's brains. He was a radical back in the day, back in like the 60s or 70s, and he got the dogs and tortured, and when he was after he was arrested, and you know, you think that would have intimidated him, or do you think that made him more militant? You know, maybe he would have just faded into the woodwork if you hadn't been so torturous on him, and maybe we wouldn't have 9/11 if it weren't for the way Egypt treated him. Anyway, so there's going to be a lot of bullshit floating around in the news. The news is going to try to spin this because, you know, Egypt is our ally. And so it's not going to matter to most of the media, certainly not Fox, that that he's been a president in office for 30 years. He wins every election, as the Daily Show pointed out, by 80%, he gets 80, 90%, something like that. Nobody gets that kind of win. You know, that can't be legal. And then when you shut down the internet and all communications, that's not the sign of a you know, balanced leader. You know, it's just not, you know, it's just so bald-faced and obvious. So, you know, it's just be careful when you're make your judgments when you're watching the news, trying to decide what to think. Make sure you try to read more. And if you don't have time to read more, like me these days, don't believe the hype. The hype is always there. The hype wants to make you watch, you know, just because they're saying, ooh, look at the Egyptians. They're blowing themselves up. That doesn't mean they're blowing themselves up, you know. One of the amazing things about the situation in Egypt is that the military has promised not to harm the civilians. And, you know, and it's like, maybe that's why Mubarak is like, okay, I'll step down in September. Maybe that's the big swing. Because the military, I think, is much more in touch with the people. In fact, that's some of what I've read and heard. And so once the people have the military on their side, you know, the government is pretty much done. The government can't secure itself at that point. And in which case, it's even more inaccurate for the American media to be talking about instability in Egypt. Because, no, everything's stable. The military is going to defend the people. Go figure. It's the government that the people don't like. So there you go. So anyway, so it's been an interesting week so far, and that's pretty much what I wanted to cover. The fact that they're protesting and they're standing up for their rights and they're getting out there, and it's really amazing. And you know, the whole phrase "only in America" is just going to have to go away now, because you know it's not only in America. And what's even more amazing is that the whole Egyptian movement has nothing to do, or has, you know, wasn't inspired by, you know, America, wasn't inspired by us invading two countries illegally. It was inspired by another rebellion, another bunch of protests in Tunisia, or Tunisia. I don't know how to pronounce it. You know, so it's just like, you know, and I don't know if they're talking about that in the mainstream news either, but that's what's going on. That's what I heard on Democracy Now. That's what I read about. You know, it's because Tunisia, you know, deposed their current leader. I believe they deposed him anyway. Like I said, I haven't had time to read up as much as I'd like. So, you know, I'm just sort of piecing everything together as best as I can, and not deciding that whatever I'm told is 100% right. I'm just listening, and, you know, and Democracy Now! Actually had the best, most balanced, you know, story. You know, they had people on the ground talking to, you know, people on the ground, regular protest types. They weren't talking to the Egyptian government that was going to spin every damn thing out of their mouths. It was just interviews of average people on the street. And it's like, well, that's Egypt. That's the real Egypt, you know? So go Egyptians. Yay. You guys are awesome. You rock. I doubt you're actually listening to this, but hey, it's the sentiment that counts, right? So cool. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I was going to mention about that, about the whole Egypt thing. I don't think there is. There's just, I apologize for Anderson Cooper. He is a handsome man. I'll give him that. But his, reporting is not so great. But again, I give him kudos for being brave and or stupid enough to go into Egypt and confront this whole thing head on. And honestly, you know, it might have been something that caught him off guard simply because everything had been so peaceful up until that day. But yeah, so I guess I'll also use this opportunity to encourage you, if you do want to get your news from any place, check out democracynow.org. You know, I mean, there are a bunch of hippies over there, but they're one of the few news sources that I'm aware of that actually does somewhat in-depth reporting, you know, and they spend more than 7 minutes on important stories. And, you know, what news show can you point to that does that? You know, I mean, even news magazines that are supposed to be in-depth pretty much only, you know, cover, you know, their stories are only 7 minutes or so. So there you go. The other thing I guess I could talk about that's sort of tangentially connected to the whole Egypt story is, damn if the anchors on CNN, at least the female anchors on CNN, aren't fucking hot. It's distracting how hot these anchors are. It's like, mostly it's just the women, but, you know, I think there are a couple of handsome guys on there as well, even aside from Anderson, too. But Fox as well, it's just, like, stunning at how stunning the women are on there. And it's like, you know, I mean, I grew up with, like, Diane Sawyer and Barbara Walters you know, just not attractive women. You know, not that they're ugly or anything, or that is any reason for them to not be on the air. You know, I just wonder how many of these hot chicks on CNN or Fox or MSNBC, you know, are actually good reporters. You know, good journalists. Like, you know, I mean, it's all such a circus. It's all designed to get us to watch. And, you know, it's like Daily Show always runs these clips of Megyn Kelly from Fox, and it's like, damn, she's hot, you know. But she's stupid and kind of, well, not a liar because I don't, well, yeah, she is kind of a liar, actually. You know, for lots of reasons that you should just watch The Daily Show to find out about, because they're just silly. And you know, The Daily Show caught her in a bald-faced falsehood, if nothing else. But it's just really sad because there's just no trusting anybody these days. I think that's what I will talk about for the next 8 minutes or so, while I wrap out the second 15 here on the 666 cast. It's just amazing to me that, you know, the government and the media just are really not trustworthy. The FCC passed a bunch of new net neutrality laws that, you know, sort of protect the internet, but do very little, or don't do enough, apparently, to protect the wireless internet. And, guess what direction we're all going in, folks? Yeah, we're gonna all have mobiles, and we're gonna surf via mobiles, and we're gonna see some amazing technology come down the pike in the next, you know, 5 years, and possibly even less than that. That will redefine how we use the internet, how we interact with information, period. And it's all going to be mobile. It's all going to be, you know, OTA, over the air. And it's all going to be in the cloud. It's all going to be, you know, as little, you know, actual, we won't need a desk to do work. We won't need, you know, a lot of the things, an internet connection, you know, by the time, you know, the next generation grows up, those kids won't know what it was like to need a connection, you know, because they'll just have devices on them that keep them connected at all times. We're becoming that, that species in first season Star Trek, The Next Generation. I don't know if there are any geeks out there listening, but, these guys they had this little device on there, this little computer hanging off their waistband, and they would tap it, and it would interact with this little, I guess it's some sort of implant or something stuck on their forehead, and it allowed them to do everything faster and more efficiently. And so they hijacked the Enterprise because they needed to use its computer system to download the intelligences of their people, because their star was going to go Nova, blah, blah. Anyway, these guys were like essentially cyborgs. Nothing like the Borg, but they had this symbiotic relationship with their pocket computers or their handheld computers, and that's very much what we've got going now. And it's we're, you know, obviously we're not quite as bad, but we're, you know, or as connected as these guys are, but, or were, But I'm sure, but I feel like we're getting there. And so it's dangerous to not have, not protect the wireless web, the wireless internet, with net neutrality laws or regulations. And it's bothersome and really depressing to see Google and Verizon, especially Google, you know, in the middle of this messing things up. And it's like, they really need to stop fucking around with that. And corporations in general, it'd be nice if they could stop fucking around with government so much. But anyway, and so, so then we look at government, we can look at politicians and know we can't trust them as well directly, not just the FCC, but politicians directly because of the various laws they're trying to pass or get unpassed. You know, I don't understand how the Democrats can stand behind the healthcare bill, which I'm not supposed to call Obamacare, but I really, it's just an easy way to describe it. I don't think it's going to kill my grandmother, but I don't want to have to buy health insurance, you know. And I remember Obama's, you know, rationalization for it was like, well, you got to have insurance to drive a car. I'm like, yeah, but I don't drive a car. I choose not to. So I can't choose not to be sick or whatever. You know, it's like there should be an alternative to insurance. You know, there should be an NHS. There should be something like that. So I kind of like that the Republicans want to repeal the Obamacare. And I really like the fact that, you know, two judges so far have declared it unconstitutional. And it's going to, of course, have to go to the Supreme Court. And I hate those guys. And knowing them, they will rule, you know, with the totalitarian side, which says, yes, help big business out. You know, yes, we all have to buy insurance. I don't know. I don't understand how they can say in a free country, you know, you have to pay money. You know, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. How can we call this a free country if we have to buy health insurance? You know, anyway, so what else? So the Democrats and the Republicans, I feel like, just don't care about us, don't care about honesty, don't care about, you know, any real freedom. I just feel like largely we're kind of, I don't want to say oppressed, because it's not like, you know, there's soldiers in the streets goose-stepping or anything like that, but I do feel like I can't trust, you know, authority figures. I can't trust, you know, people to do the right thing. I found out a coworker of mine doesn't even like to, can't be bothered. She literally admitted this, and she laughed about it because obviously, you know, she was embarrassed about it, but she admitted it, and said basically, that she can't be bothered to sort the recycling. So she basically takes out her trash and dumps it in the neighbor's garbage. And I'm like, really? You know? And she's, you know, it's like you have to go outside in the cold to reach your neighbor's garbage. Wouldn't it just be easier to stay indoors and sort it and leave it in your own garbage? I don't get it. I don't understand people like that. Another coworker of mine, she doesn't, you know, want to pay attention to the world, doesn't want to know what's going on, doesn't want to understand what's happening to her. She says none of it affects her, you know, and it's like, I don't want to get into it with her because it's like a workplace, and it's like, you know, also I believe, like, you know, you should be left alone if you don't want to. I don't want to force anybody to deal with anything they don't want to deal with, because ultimately reality will deal with them, period. But it bugs me, you know. It's like, how can you say it doesn't affect you? You know, it's like one of our congressmen here in Manhattan, actually, she's out in Brooklyn, so she actually has a good guy out there. I forget his name. He's a friend of John Stewart's. But our congressman here in Manhattan, at least on the north end of the island, is that, you know, corrupt asshole. He sounds like this. He sounds like Harvey Firestein, Firestein, whatever. I'm totally blanking on his name. Black dude, he's been in office for fucking ever. He just got censured because he broke some rules. Anyway, it's just sad because it all does connect us. Here's something I can recommend to you. No Impact Man. It was a movie that came out, I think it was last year or the year before. This New Yorker decides he's going to live a year. He and his wife and their daughter are going to live a year while making as little environmental impact as possible. And so they basically spend the year trying to figure out ways to not impact the environment. And it was really interesting. I thought it was just going to be a sappy hippie thing that had no real teeth and was just like, oh, switch to incandescent bulbs, you know, stuff like that. And there are elements of that, but there's actually some teeth to it. And there's a great scene where they make some serious, powerful commentary on corporations and how really it's corporations that are, you know, kind of supplying all the things that are harming the environment, you know. And it's true, you know, we can change all the light bulbs we want, we can, you know, put solar panels up, and as long as we buy anything from a corporation, we will still have packaging to throw away, and that whatever is inside that packaging was likely manufactured, you know, in an unsustainable way. In other words, it saps, you know, things from the environment and damages the environment just in the process of it being made. And so we need to understand that that's happening. And this is why we need to find another planet to live on, because we're trashing the one we've got, and it's going to be a while before it heals itself, especially if we don't go away for a while, or at least lighten the load. If we lighten the load, Mother Earth would have an easier time keeping up with us. So anyway, I think that's the end. Yes, I'm actually a minute past, so I'm going to wrap this up. This has been The Pete for episode 42 of the 666 cast. Thank you very much for listening. You know how to leave me a note if you liked what you heard. I'm on Twitter at The Pete. You can also call the hotline. Go to website 666.com to call. I will be hopefully back in another week. If I can find 30 minutes to sit down and chat about things that I think it's important you should know about, and things that are bugging me, and things that I think will poke in your sensibilities a little bit there. So, yeah. Thanks for listening. This has been The Pete for Website 666 and the 666 cast. Oh, and please tell your friends. Thanks. And thanks for listening. Bye.